What's going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us. You are on the Rational Revolution. And I am your host, Mark Becker. What is up? Hey, last week, if you missed it, we had a conversation with the brilliant Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. We talked about, all things Wisconsin politics. He's brilliant. He had such great insight. So if you want to listen to it, download the Civic Media app. Check out the website. There's podcasts available and all that stuff. And you might want to listen to this episode as well. Because, hey, I have a dear friend of mine. Her name's Hua Utek. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff that she's been up to. But May, I know this is going to be airing in June, but May is Mental Health Month. And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about it because, you know, so many people are going through so many things. And it only is taboo if it's not talked about. And so I wanted to bring a dear friend in and talk about things that she went through. I'll talk about things that I went through, and maybe we'll do an episode that's not politics related, but it's people related. And in preparing for this episode, I saw that a statistic that actually kind of shocked me. And it's 48% of both women and men have experienced psychological aggression and emotional abuse in their lifetime in the United States. And the percentage is so high, but it's such a topic that's tucked down into the deepest parts of us. And I don't think it should be. And so here to talk with me about it is my dear friend, Hua.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor. And like, so usually I have just a million notes, and I started preparing for this episode like a week, like the moment that I was done with the previous one, and we're going to wing this here. So how did you and I meet? Do you remember?
I think I had reached out to you, correct?
If I remember right, it's your brother.
Yes. My brother had shared with me because he's been a huge part of helping me through that process. And I just remember hitting a certain point in my divorce process that I just felt like I needed more guidance. And you came to mind for him. And so he just suggested that I reach out to you. And, you know, I believe I reached out to you and then really asked you for your own personal experience and your recommendations.
Yeah, it was, and then I think we talked on the phone for like 2 hours the first time. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, yeah, you know, and that was kind of crazy. And so tell, what are you comfortable telling? Like, what did you go through? And your background is in clinical psychology.
Actually, right? It's social work.
Social work.
Yes, yeah, social work. And I do have marriage and family therapy training as well. And I've had experience working in domestic abuse shelters as well. And so that is my, you know, like work background. But when I went through my divorce process, I was completely shaken by that process. From the moment that my ex had filed for divorce, at that point in time, really I only knew two people who were married, who had gone through divorce, and their experience was probably ideal, you know, for anyone going through that process. You know, it was right. Amicable. Right. And, you know, so I didn't really have any experience hearing about the post-separation abuse aspect of divorce. And so when I went through the process of separation and divorce, like I said, I was shaken. I did not expect to have to go through the pain of having to really defend myself and really come to terms with the fact that I had to just follow suit, basically, to make sure that things were okay, especially because I do have young kids. But it was heartbreaking because I thought that the systems that are in place, you know, mm-hmm. the law, the law and everything would be on my side and would be able to make sure that things were fair. And that is just not the case.
Right.
So when I finally reached out to you, I was at my wit's end and I was searching for just some guidance around what to do, because I just felt like the power that my ex had over the whole situation, both financially and psychologically, really broke me.
And talk about, I mean, I tell your story and how you can, you know, with like what happened?
You know, I did feel in a sense blindsided with the divorce because I thought we had a great relationship. You know, I felt like we were both pretty respectful of one another, and probably around 2 years prior to him filing for divorce, our marriage started to break down. We had been together for well over a decade at this point, and, you know, just things started feeling really off. And I thought, oh, maybe it's just the time of life that we were in. I just figured that maybe it was our kids are getting older and, you know, there's just more with scheduling and whatnot.
It's hard.
So, yeah. And at that point in time, I felt like we really didn't have many struggles in our marriage. And so when things started breaking down, we, you know, started doing therapy. And instead of things getting better, things actually just got worse. And I didn't learn until after he had filed for divorce that he had been having an affair. And there was a lot of intentionality behind the forms of abuse that he was inflicting on me and in our marriage. And I would say that prior to that point in our marriage, I've always been a very strong, strong person. I've always been very independent, and I've always been very achievement-based. So I'm someone that who always worked for whatever I needed, you know. And when we got to that separation divorce point, I had felt like a shell of a person. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to think that within a span of 2 years that psychological abuse can create that type or can have that type of an impact. And once we got to the point of divorce and I was able to at least like feel the ground beneath my feet again, I started really diving into understanding trauma. Because for me, you know, nobody recognized me, even my family. And so I felt so determined to figure out what the heck had happened and why I was responding in the way that I was, because I just no longer felt like I had a voice. I had no longer felt like I had an identity, and I felt like I needed to be strong for myself, but also for my kids. And so that's kind of where the coaching has come in. Once I dove into really understanding trauma, I really reached out to a lot of women that I had met around the world. And through that process, I really started to see a lot of the same patterns that happen within relationships when there is significant psychological abuse. And so many parallels in the stories. Mm. You know, it's almost like there is a playbook for people who go on to abuse.
Do you think that like that the people that do perpetrate that mm-hmm. do that, do you think they know it?
Yes.
Do you think there's intent?
I would say that there is a strategy and an intention behind that. You know, even when you think of the term gaslighting.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of gaslighting, I know it's overused, just like the term narcissism is overused, right? But really to clarify, there's a difference between a person who lies and a person who gaslights.
Okay.
You know,
what is that?
An example would be, let's say, you know, even just like with this meeting today, you know, let's say I was like 30 minutes late.
Okay.
And if I come in and I say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and I was late because I, you know, the train and, you know, and whether there was a train or not, you know, maybe I'm just lying, right?
Right.
But if I come in and say, actually, I thought you had told me that it was an hour later, you know?
Okay.
And so then I shift the blame onto you.
Yeah.
And then I create this shift in reality around, you know, and then if you are somebody who starts to question wait, did I give her the wrong time?
Right.
You know, so that's where the difference lies in someone who lies and someone who intentionally tries to change the narrative of the story so that the, so they're, you know, they don't have to face any accountability and they don't have to face any, you know, anything that comes with that.
Right. That's, yeah, okay. You know, and that's wild. And so you were experiencing these things. How long did it take you to realize, like, holy crap, like I've been hollowed, you know?
Because, you know, divorce had never been a word that we had even used in our relationship. Because we had always been so focused on, you know, working through whatever issues that would come up.
Right.
And because it was, I had changed so drastically in that 2 years, even the word narcissism did not even come up in conversation until a family member had mentioned it. And even then I was like, no, that doesn't apply. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
So it was probably around that divorce mark when he separated that I really started, then I had space and time to really understand what happened, because there was that physical distance.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. So it really, you didn't see how deep it was until there was some separation.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah. And it's, that's crazy. Cause you know, I think of all of the people that don't get that don't have that opportunity, you know, it's something that's wild. We got like 30 seconds left in the segment, so we'll talk about this, you know, some more. I remember when I spoke with you and we talked, I think, for the first time for like 2 hours, I didn't realize some of the things that I went through was as traumatic, you know, as it was. And, you know, it's something that, again, we'll talk about this in a moment, but it's something that really needs to be normalized. We'll talk more on the Rational Revolution here on the other side. We got Mark Becker and my dear friend Hua. We'll see you in a little bit. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang it.